This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, December 10th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. Golden Globe nominations dropped on Monday morning, and Netflix dominated. Entertainment reporter John Jurgensen will explain what that means for the future of Netflix, streaming, and the movie industry. That's up in just a minute. But first, let's check some headlines. A coalition of 13 states and D.C. are suing to block a $26 billion merger between Sprint and T-Mobile. They are the third and fourth largest carriers by subscribers. Trump administration officials approved the deal earlier this year after they forced several concessions. Those included arming satellite TV provider Dish with the building blocks for a built-from-scratch cell phone network to preserve the market's four-player structure. But the states say that's not enough, and putting together two wireless companies with a record of aggressive discounts would make cell phone plans more expensive. Shares of both T-Mobile and Sprint were down 2.5% at the closing bell on Monday. Amazon has filed a complaint against the Trump administration over the Jedi deal. No, we're not talking about Baby Yoda. We're talking about the Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure, Jedi contract. That's a $10 billion cloud computing contract. Amazon says the Pentagon passed it over because of, quote, improper pressure from President Trump. Amazon was long considered a favorite for the Jedi contract, but the deal ultimately went to Microsoft. In its complaint, Amazon says the president repeatedly attacked the company and singled them out over political differences with company CEO and founder Jeff Bezos, who also owns The Washington Post. The Pentagon has said there were no external influences on the Jedi selection process, including from the president. Essentially, they say Microsoft was just more qualified for the job. And it's no secret that new tech companies have been a major driver for job growth in the past few decades. But a new study shows that 90% of that growth has been clustered in just five U.S. cities: San Francisco, Seattle, San Jose, Boston, and San Diego. And yes, three are in California. While companies say the concentration of jobs helps them innovate at a much faster rate, it also means that most of the country gets left out of that economic growth. The awards season is officially here, and the Golden Globe nominations dropped early Monday. But this year, streaming services were the star of the show. Netflix dominated the award nominations with 34 honors across the movie and television categories. Here to explain how Netflix fits into the bigger movie and television industry picture is our entertainment reporter, John Jurgensen. John, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
So let's talk about this. Netflix came in strong this year. What does this tell us about the power in the industry right now and where it's going?
I think the awards shows and the award races really just kind of reinforce the conversation that's been happening in a lot of ways as these streamers have come in and really kind of with big spending and lots of viewers really started to dominate the conversation and dominate the industry. So it's got to be frustrating for traditional studios to see Netflix especially come in and just take over the nominations for the Golden Globes. And Apple, of course, is very happy today because, you know, only about a month after launching, they've got their first awards nominations for its show, The Morning Show. So, you know, no one really thinks of the Golden Globes as the ultimate arbiter of quality. In fact, it's known for its eccentricity. But these award nominations really do kind of drive home this narrative that's been taking over in Hollywood, that these streamers are not just a force to be reckoned with, but, you know, a major threat.
Yeah, I mean, if we back up just a little bit, Netflix has gone from being a platform for other people's content to being this huge force, as you just said. I mean, if we think back to the fact that its first originals were in 2013, House of Cards, Hemlock Grove, Orange is the New Black, and then it didn't have very many new originals until really last year and this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, what you're seeing on the movie side is kind of a sequel to what happened on the television side just a few years ago. As you point out, 2013 was the year House of Cards came out and put them on the map with their first Emmys and Golden Globe nominations. And then since then, they've really kind of accumulated a lot on the TV side. On the film side, the first nomination they received was in 2016. And that was just kind of a nominal nomination for Beasts of No Nation. And here we are just a couple years later with 17 and more than any other major studio. So it's this kind of super accelerated pattern that they have. And that's also a reflection of them flooding the market with releases. On the television side, they put out so much stuff that, of course, it makes sense that they get these nominations. It's a little bit different on the film side, where they're not putting out a ton of original feature films yet. What they are putting out are these really sort of big spending awards magnet type projects, like The Irishman as the biggest example with Martin Scorsese. So you really kind of see how quickly their cycle ramps up.
Let's talk a little bit about that strategy. You mentioned The Irishman. That is an example of a movie that actually played in theaters and on the streaming platform. And it was in theaters for just 3 weeks, but that's the widest release of any of their films so far. Are we going to start seeing this more and more?
I think the theatrical release is an important part. Obviously, that's how they qualify for these award shows. But it's really a tug of war in terms of their strategy. I mean, I think that they're only doing it for the prestige and to qualify, and also to satisfy filmmakers. But what they really want is for the Netflix platform to be your Cineplex, your everything. So you could really see how The Irishman, it did get that nice release, and yet conversation around the movie didn't really spike in the public until it hit Netflix. Same thing with Marriage Story, which also was heavily nominated.
And I think that's, and we saw that as well, right? There was a big back and forth between theaters and streaming services over when the movies come out on streaming services, when they go into theaters. What is that debate looking like right now?
It hasn't kind of resolved itself at all. In fact, it just got more and more tense around The Irishman. What you're seeing is it's this general blurring of the genres, blurring of the platforms, and it really makes you wonder what qualifies as cinema. Directors and filmmakers really want to see their stuff on the big screen, and that's a hugely important thing to their vision. But Netflix, the world Netflix sees is a lot more gray. You know, they see, they want to serve their subscribers and moviegoers in whatever form. And they think that the streaming platform is the best way to do that.
You keep bringing up the subscribers of the streaming services. So why are winning these awards so important to them?
Well, I think what you point out there is sort of the ultimate irony of all this, in that I don't think most viewers of these shows and movies actually care that much. And in fact, you see the ratings and the audience for these award shows go down and people questioning their relevance because they don't necessarily think they're that important. The reason they're so important and remain so important is because it's just a big flashing billboard to Hollywood and the industry and the people who are deciding which deals to make and which studio to go with and which company they want to be aligned with.
I mean, it's interesting because what you just said to me sounds like I get someone like Scorsese to work with me as a production company because I can prove that I'm capable of putting together a production that actually gets that award. And yet you're saying the viewers don't care?
I think more or less. You know, I think people are excited to see a Scorsese film in their home if they want to, you know, spend the time in that 3.5 hours and break it up the way they want. But going back to that idea of the message it sends to the industry, it comes down to, you know, do you want to be on the winning team? And more importantly, I don't know if the lure of awards is really what got Scorsese working with Netflix. It's probably a lot more coming down to, you know, we're going to spend the money on your production too and give you all the leeway and rope you need as a creative to make the kind of film you want. And the fact that they will give you that huge budget and they will give you that runway of creativity is really kind of, I think, the biggest currency in Hollywood. But the fact that it also can translate into nominations, that certainly is icing on the cake.
Is it paying off for Netflix, though? I mean, you're talking about writing the checks for big budget films. Where is the balance sheet there?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think analysts continue to really question whether Netflix's massive spending and chasing of creators is really going to work out in the long run. I think, especially on the TV side, which I cover more often, you can see that Netflix is desperately trying to create enough buzzy originals to replace all these big licensed shows which are disappearing and going to other services. So they're really sort of doing their best to play catch up, not only play catch up, but to take over in their production of their own originals, because that's where the real value is.
Excellent. John Jorgensen, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
And we should note that despite their strong showing at the Golden Globes, stocks of Netflix were down 1.5% after Monday's closing bell. That was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.